to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here on this Thursday morning. And tip of the hat and a good morning to the crew that are driving right now to Winnipeg. There is a contingency because I'm hearing from some of you on the text line. On the way to Winnipeg, Kent in Lumsden with a text this morning. On my way to Winnipeg, go Riders. I'm extremely ticked about the party passes. Leave it to Winnipeg to screw it up. I've been attending Grey Cup since 2001, only missing a few, and I can't go to Ryderville, just another reason to dislike the Bombers. So I caught a little bit. They were talking about this on the Green Zone yesterday. They were pre-selling passes to Ryderville, and they only have a facility or a room that accommodates so many people. And apparently the message went out to season ticket holders, but of course not everybody reads emails like that, and so it got missed. So people that are making the kind of the last minute decision or later this week saying, okay, you know what, let's go to the game. They got tickets to the game. And of course, you're going to want to go to Ryderville. Well, apparently it's quite limited. If you don't have tickets, it's tough to get in. Kent from Lumsden with the, if you, by the way, if you have experience with this or you know more about this, please give us a shout or shoot us a text, 1-877-332-8255. Love to hear from you. Well, lots going on from a political standpoint. Of course, today's the day we find out officially what the new nation-building projects will be. Again, this is the worst-kept secret in the country because it was leaked earlier this week. We're going to see a liquefied natural gas project in BC, a nickel project in Ontario, critical mineral mine in New Brunswick, and a hydroelectric development in the north. That's essentially the main projects that will be announced. Nothing really for Saskatchewan, no pipeline in there, despite the fact that we know Danielle Smith laid the groundwork, in fact, took a lot of the risk out of the project by investing provincial funds to try and incentivize and make that happen, but doesn't look like that's going to make the cut there. Interesting to note that, you know, there's been, of course, a lot of talk about the conservative member that crossed the floor to the Liberals. Things aren't all rosy in the Liberal caucus, and we see this coming out. Nate Erskine-Smith is a Liberal MP from Ontario. He actually does a regular podcast and will bring different guests on. There is rumor that he is making a play to become the provincial Liberal leader, so stepping away from federal politics. And maybe that's the case. If you saw the video, there's a video on YouTube. It's called The Good, the Bad, the Ugly by Nate Erskine-Smith, talking about the budget. And in the budget, he basically lays out, here's some stuff that I think is good, here's some stuff that's maybe not so good, and here's the stuff that's really bad. Ends it off saying, I don't think we fulfilled our commitment.
Overall, the budget meets the moment, in part, on questions of sovereignty and with a focus on spurring economic growth at home. And look, it's certainly not a budget that should throw us into an election at such an uncertain time. But fairly, it does not live up to its promise of generational investments. I joke that it was a pretty good progressive conservative budget. I joked. I'll get flack for that. It's a joke. But hey, some conservatives agree.
And then he shows the video there, of course, of the conservative MP crossing the floor and walking into the Liberal caucus room where they're all cheering and whatever. But we are hearing, especially those that are heavy on the green portfolio. So, you know, Stephen Guilbeault, not happy that they've stepped away from or haven't put as much focus on some of those climate-focused initiatives. I saw it was former Minister Wilkinson, Tim Wilkinson was on Power Play with Vashi Kapelos last night talking a little bit about that, and I think he was trying to do some damage control there. But there definitely is this feeling of frustration from some people inside the Liberal caucus, although I'm guessing they're doing their best to try and keep that quiet. Now, the Conservatives, of course, this has been a topic of conversation. One Conservative MP makes the decision to leave and go over to the Liberals. The other is just saying, you know what, for personal purposes, I'm going to call it a day, and is stepping away. Pierre Poilievre did his first news conference yesterday on this and was asked the question about whether or not he needs to change his leadership style. He had some pretty direct thoughts on that.
You lost two MPs the week of the budget. One cited your leadership as a reason for leaving. I just want to put Carney and the Liberals to the side here and just ask you personally.
Of course you do.
Does this say anything about your leadership? Have you maybe reflected on your leadership style moving forward?
No, we are. My plan is to continue to lead and be the only leader in the country that's fighting for an affordable Canada where our people who work hard can afford a home and food. That is my agenda. And I will just quote Mr. D'Entremont when he speaks about Mark Carney. It says, after 6 months under a new prime minister who promised financial discipline, Canadians are still waiting. He said that he would be judged by the cost of groceries at the store. Well, Canadians are judging him, and they are not impressed. He said this only a few months ago. Since the Liberals came to power, food prices are up 40%. We have heard it many times here today. It is deliberate, and it is unacceptable. It is inhumane, said Mr. D'Entremont, for a G7 country. So he said that Liberal food price inflation under Mark Carney was inhumane. And I couldn't agree more. And I feel badly for the inhumane conditions, to use his own words, that he is now supporting for his own constituents. But I won't just quote him. I'll quote Nate Erskine Smith, a Liberal MP, who now says that his children should not have to pay for Mark Carney's budget. Let me see here. Now to the bad and more fairly, where expectations were set at a level we failed to meet, including on the question of generational investments. The budget falls short of these specific promises in our platform, and it unfortunately falls well short of the wartime home building effort that many of us thought we'd deliver. It's certainly not a budget that should throw us into an election at an uncertain time, but it does not live up to its promise of generational investments. He goes on to say, this is Mr. Nate Erskine-Smith, a Liberal MP, that Mark Carney has broke his promise to spend less with $90 billion of new spending, only 36% of which is actually capital. The rest is more costs. So when you have a Liberal MP attacking the costly credit card budget that Mr. Carney has put forward, then we see turmoil in the Liberals, and I know that there will be wall-to-wall coverage on CTV of this turmoil, of a Liberal MP criticizing his own budget days before the vote. I know you're camped outside his office right now, waiting to get comment from him. I know you've been chasing Mark Carney down hallways to find out what he has to say. I mean, it's just been the relentless coverage that you will have of this dissent within the Liberal Party. I understand also there's former liberal minister Guy Beau is unhappy with the environmental policies that while he supports raising costs, he doesn't think they raise them enough. That we've got Wilkinson is unhappy. So I know that I'm looking forward to seeing the wall-to-wall coverage on CTV of all of the costly turmoil in the Liberal budget. So I will be tuning in tonight to watch your newscast. Thank you.
That was Pierre Poilievre's answer to the question, will you be changing your leadership style? Lots of people applauding that answer. Some people saying, you know what, probably not the approach you should be taking. It comes out too aggressive. And that, people are saying, is what turns off some conservative voters. Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think the question is offside. I mean, we've had Pierre Poilievre on this show a number of times. He's been live with us in studio. If he were in my studio today, I would probably have asked him that same question. You know, is this a signal? We talked about it yesterday when we had Warren Steinle on the program. Is this a signal of problems in the party? Yeah, the answer, I'm guessing, is going to be no. Yes, okay, fair enough, but fair enough to answer the question. I will say, I watched the CTV news last night. They actually did cover a lot of the things that Pierre Poilievre said he expects to see. They had Tim Wilkinson on there. They talked to him. They talked about some of the frustration coming through the Liberal caucus, including that video that I played the clip from, Nate Erskine-Smith. At the end of the day, what you can't step away from is the immense deficit increase that comes with this budget. And we have talked about that a lot on the program. It's something that still causes consternation to many people. In fact, let's jump onto the phone lines here and talk with Dave in Saskatoon. Dave, thanks so much for calling in. What are your thoughts this morning?
Well, good morning. I think the Liberals missed the mark on the budget. However, the gentleman you had on last week that was criticizing the budget, he was with the Conservative Party. You know, he talked about how the Conservatives would always support the military in Canada. But going back, I mean, even through the Harper years, and I really thought a lot of Harper. I liked them, but they really didn't support the military. I mean, not monetarily. And, you know, now we're in a real pickle because nobody has for decades. And something has to be done. It has to be significant, and it needs to be now. And he didn't say, all he talked about is supporting the military, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't put money where their mouths are, so to speak. And that is my concern, I guess. We need to lose the caps on and the restrictions on oil and gas. You know, there's a lot of things that weren't there that I think should have been there. This country needs to make money, and we do that through our natural resources. Mm-hmm. However, we need to build up our military, and I don't hear that from the conservatives. And I have concerns about that. And God, if we have to take this liberal budget in order to get it done, then I think that's what it needs to be.
It's thanks, Dave. I appreciate your call. It's an interesting point because we know we've had General Rick Hillier on the program before, and he lays the blame at the feet of government over the last couple of decades. So while we have seen, obviously, recently, not a lot of focus, priority, and budget given to the military, what Dave just said is a point that Rick Hillier has made on our program many times, that this has been years of basically not prioritizing this. And I think, I actually, you know, truly believe that we did fall into this lulled sense of the United States are our neighbors. That's Big Brother. They will take care of us. And so there are many ways in which we have been able to kind of drag along beside the United States. But it's a big hole that we have dug, and now it's going to take us a while to get ourselves out of it. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots of texts coming in on the text line. I also want to talk about, still miffed about the fact that we had our foreign affairs minister sitting down with the U.S. Secretary of State, and she didn't talk about trade? What? How is that even possible? We'll talk about that when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Okay, I am still scratching my head at this. Foreign Affairs Minister Anita Anand has been in the news quite a bit lately. Of course, the G7 meetings in Niagara region here this week, hosted by Canada. They announced yesterday more sanctions on Russia, basically targeting those behind Russia's drone and cyber attacks on Ukraine's power grid. That story's not the big story to me. That's a story. But the big story is what didn't happen. Anita Anand, again, Canada's foreign affairs minister. Just think about that title, foreign affairs minister. Met with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio. They shook hands. They posed for pictures. They had a meeting. Some of it was public. Some of it was private. Afterwards, in the media scrum, she gets asked, what did you discuss on trade? And she says, oh, no, we didn't discuss trade. That doesn't fall under my portfolio. That falls under Dominic LeBlanc's portfolio. He's the Canada-U.S. trade minister. By the way, in her closing speech, she talked about the importance of multilateralism, new trading relationships, all part of her closing speech. But no, I didn't talk about trade at all with Marco Rubio. Honestly, explain to me how that's possible. Explain to me how our foreign affairs minister can sit down with a top person from Donald Trump's team and not talk trade. I mean, you know what? One of two things here. Number one, she's being disingenuous about it. She talked about it and she's not wanting to talk publicly about it. Or number two, it's a blatant disregard for Canadians on this issue. How much have we been talking about at every level about the importance of trading relationships with the United States. We can argue back and forth whether these tariffs are the boogeyman that they were once made out to be or not. We can talk about whether it's a distraction that the Liberal Party is embracing so they don't have to deal with affordability issues here in Canada. There's all these offshoots that we can talk about. But explain to me how Foreign Affairs Minister Anita Anand would sit down with Marco Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, and not bring up trade. Ludicrous to me. Absolutely ludicrous. And I know there will be people that say, well, maybe Mark Carney told her. Maybe Mark Carney said, I don't want you talking about it. Why is that? Is it because he doesn't trust her? Because he doesn't think she would mess it up more than she would help it? I mean, there's just so many tentacles to this, but it does not make any sense to me at all. This looks like a neglectful foreign affairs minister on my part. And just talk, just be real with us. So if you talked in passing about it, but it's not your portfolio, then just tell us that, right? Like, be honest and just say, you know what? We obviously, it came up. It's the biggest issue between Canada and the United States. So how can we sit down and not talk about it? Obviously, it came up. It's not my portfolio. I know there's meetings happening right now as we speak. So I can't really comment on that. But yes, we did have a very brief conversation about the importance of our ongoing trading relationship. Just say that. You say that, guess what? You don't have Evan Bray talking about it on the show tomorrow. You say, oh no, I couldn't go there. Crazy to me. 1-877-332-8255. Yeah, there you go. Dave says, maybe it's because Mark Carney doesn't trust her to talk about trade. Well, that's a problem if she's our foreign affairs minister. I'm not saying you're wrong, Dave. I'm just saying that's a problem. 1-877-332-8255. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Lots of texts coming in about Pierre Poilievre's speech yesterday. Cameron in Regina says, if the honesty of Pierre Poilievre turns off some conservative voters, then they should join the Liberal Party where honesty is a fluid concept. Cameron in Regina. Meanwhile, Dylan in Saskatoon said, I think the question of whether or not he should change his style is a very fair question. Dylan goes on to say he's tone deaf. That's why moderate conservatives have stepped away. We didn't leave the conservatives. They left us, says Dylan in Saskatoon. Cameron in Regina again. We don't need Carney at another podium repeating promises of grandeur about Canada's promising future. We want to hear actual dates for shovels in the ground. The transition from talk to action must start now. Lots of criticism, of course, about the projects that are being announced are ones that are already well underway. Some of them actually quite near completion. And the federal government stepping in to make them part of the suite of nation-building announcements. Lots of criticisms there as well. Okay, we're going to actually step away from open phones for the next half hour. We have Mayor Cynthia Block joining us just after 9:30. Then we'll go back into another half an hour of open phones. If you have a question for the mayor, we're going to do our best to get a number of them on. I've already got a number built up from you over the last week. Mayor Cynthia Block is next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.